Did you know that there are thousands of volunteers across the world serving to create lasting impact in our communities?
Really?
That is just one of the many facts about volunteerism that you will hear on The Spotlight every Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Mariah, the voice of peace. Hello and welcome to The Spotlight on Radio Mariah. My name is Lebo. Every week we profile people who take volunteerism very seriously and they take it as a part of their commitment in life. These people share their skills, their knowledge, anything that they have to actually empower other people. This week on our Spotlight appearance, we have Taurai Sanda Mpunganyi. Taurai serves with UN volunteers as a nurse at United Nations Mission in South Sudan. He is licensed as a nurse anesthetist, emergency medical technician, and he has paramedic certification. He has served as anesthetic nurse in the UN support office at the AU mission in Somalia. He has also been a national contractor with UNDP in Zimbabwe as the emergency nurse and national UNV. Taurai has served at both government and private sector in his country, Zimbabwe, and in Botswana. He has clinical instructor and ambulance service management experience. He is also a highly experienced technician in his own right with more than 20 years experience in general surgical and emergency nursing, of which he has been in clinical anesthesia since 1996. Taurai, welcome to The Spotlight.
Thank you, Lebo.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
What did you have for breakfast?
Some good stuff. Some wonderful Liberian stuff that I can't remember the name, but
Liberian food.
Oh yeah, hot chili.
Oh, that's nice. Sounds really yummy. And what's your favorite color?
Oh, blue, sky blue. Oh well, sky blue. The sky is beyond the limit.
But it's so cliche. Most men will say blue, and as just like most women will say pink. It's very very cliche. You don't think?
True, it is. But I actually find royalty in blue. I find royalty in blue, and there's depth in it.
Mm-hmm.
I find depth in it. It's beautiful.
Okay. Mm. All right. Nice to know. All right. And tell me, do you have a personal motto that you live by?
Yeah, I do. I do. My greatest desire in life and pursuit, so to speak, is that when and if anybody that I've been in contact with should remember me, I would like to see a smile on their face.
Mm-hmm.
That's my greatest desire.
Okay, so you have to leave somebody with a smile.
I want to leave someone with
a
smile.
Okay, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And we have already introduced you and we've said quite a lot about your profile. But I wanted to come from you. Tell us a little bit more about your background.
My background with regards to my professional line of duty, as you already have well said, yes, anesthesia has been my life. Emergency, trauma, surgery, emergency technician, paramedics, that's been the world that I've lived in since 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially my life. Mm-hmm. And I've often said to people that, you know, I thrive under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I like the adrenaline in it. I like the sense of usefulness and resourcefulness that comes out of it. And it's always been my joy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Please share with us what your typical day in your current position looks like.
Beautiful. Apparently, I'm working in a clinic, and we do a lot of, it's more a staff clinic type of environment. And walk in the morning, check out that all my materials for the day are ready. Personnel is all in their respective positions and desks. Basically, we spend most of our time attending to walk-in clients. People will walk in with minor and probably once in a while serious complaints, and we attend to them, give them the initial attention that they need, check on their vitals, proceed with them through to the medical officer. Those that would need a referral or transfer to the next level of care, we will carry them in our ambulance and convey them. But overall, we basically do more of a walk-in clinic, more of a staff clinic background. We sometimes here and there,
mm-hmm.
People who need fluid rehydration, and we'll cannulate them, give them intravenouses, give them injections, dressings, bandages, that kind of thing.
All hospital stuff.
All hospital stuff. All hospital stuff, except for surgery. That's the only thing I miss.
Okay, okay. Mm. That's very interesting, actually. And so, Taurai, tell us what your personal understanding of volunteerism is.
My personal understanding of volunteerism, which is something by which I go, essentially has to do with one seeking to exert themselves in the community of humankind with a sense of selflessness that is so given out to the end that the beneficiaries thereof would be most grateful for the attention and the service that the one has given. Mm. Volunteerism has nothing to do with one getting any financial rewards, but it derives more from one understanding that the skills that they have, that the expertise that they have, that the abilities that they have are all for the sake of your fellow man. Mm. And you give it selflessly.
Okay. Mm. So really just giving of yourself and your skills and your intellect and your knowledge selflessly to the community of humankind.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. And in your journey as a volunteer, what are some of the greatest lessons you've learned?
Quite a lot, but just off the cuff, I would say that I have since realized that there is much more that I'm capable of than I ever thought I was.
Wonderful.
Much more that I'm capable of than I ever thought I was. And I have also realized that there is so much that there is to offer out there. There is a need.
Yeah.
Needs are there. There is a great need for support, a great need for help, a great need for sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it all, the joy is not in what you get personally in terms of material, but the joy is in knowing that somebody somewhere can look back and say, that was great.
Mm.
And all coming from you, freely given.
You know, there's this quote that I once came across, and it was like, it said, I want to be the type of person that when somebody remembers me, they will say, it was because of you that I didn't give up.
Mm.
I'm like, that's very, actually, you know, I think that we should at least, at the very least, aim to do that for somebody, one person in our lives.
True.
So yeah, I think that's really, really wonderful. And you're currently serving as a UN volunteer in South Sudan. What is the most interesting part about your assignment?
Oh, the greatest excitement that I have actually in South Sudan has been to be able to have situations where one comes back to express that they got help and they are grateful for a service offered and offered well.
Mm-hmm.
That to me has been very, very, very exciting for me. And also to know and realize that I could step out here and be of use and know that I participated in building a nation. What a joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's my greatest motivation as I do all this.
Tara, so how did you hear about the opportunity to be assigned with UN volunteers?
Well, I was exposed to UN volunteers way back. 2006 was my first time to know that there is UN volunteers when I was back home in Zimbabwe. I apparently interacted with a colleague that I had been with in paramedic training who was now working in the mission field. He was working with a demining company somewhere in Kosovo. And he's the gentleman that introduced me to the issue, the aspect of UN volunteers. And when they did, I then got someone to help me because I was not very computer literate, just this recently, sadly to speak. And so he helped me to log on and do all the necessary processes, which eventually led to my my appointment and the offer that I got first time round as a national volunteer in July of that same year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. And Tarai, let's have some music that you have, some music that you want to share with us. Please share with us your first track.
Wow. Yeah, let's go. That's a joy.
Yeah.
We're looking at Tasha Cobbs, and Tasha Cobbs comes in singing about chains broken, and the title is Break Every Chain.
Okay, wonderful. This is Tasha Cobbs singing Break Every Chain.
Break Every Chain.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on. Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain. Come on, say it.
To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army.
Welcome back to the Spotlight. I am here with Tarai from Zimbabwe, who is a nurse with the United Nations mission in South Sudan. So, Tarai, what is it that made you connect to volunteerism?
My background from the environment in which I come out, I was brought up. I was brought up in a family that fostered tens, scores of children. Mm-hmm. My parents were ever so helpful. And I remember we were so many in our homestead, relatives, close and distant, to the extent that the first time I ever had what I called my own room, I was doing Form 3. I had never known the comfort of your own room.
Yeah. So you grew up sharing.
I grew up sharing. It's been my life.
Yeah. That's wonderful, actually. And I think actually a lot of African homes actually really instill that in their families.
Sure.
Yeah, because when I grew up, I didn't have my own room until I think I was like in standard 7,
you know,
which is like the last year of primary school.
Oh my God.
You know, it took that long.
Yeah. I think
it's a wonderful, these are wonderful values that we instill in our kids.
Very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And tell me about your most memorable moment serving as a volunteer in your entire career, not just in South Sudan.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I would say, you know, I remember serving essentially so efficiently well, if I may say, because we truly exerted ourselves. We had a point to prove. Mm-hmm. It was just round about the time that there was the first clinic was set up in Zimbabwe by the United Nations Development Program there. Mm-hmm. And we had to prove that we could offer a service. It was a little tiny, tiny clinic, which we were using some rented premises. And eventually premises that were donated by another agency because we didn't even have enough space to begin with. And we had to work so hard as to build up a successful entity within the United Nations family in the country. Mm-hmm. And it was so, it just had to be so well done to the extent that as we were made to understand or as we sort of thought, eventually posts could be developed and the practice could grow. And so our intention was to push for growth, to push for maturity, and yet meeting the needs. Mm-hmm. And one of the greatest things that I remember, which excites me when I look back at it, was a scenario where we became so useful in the system to the extent that at one point in time, the Ministry of Health in the country, literally interacted with us directly, and we were able to participate and mm-hmm. promote a lot of attention that was needed for the growth of work towards prevention mm-hmm. and support in an environment where we had a low healthcare services at national level. Effectively, I remember setting up a clinic, an outreach clinic, where we were attending to diarrheal diseases mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that had broken out. Mm-hmm. And it was a national crisis mm-hmm, eventually mm-hmm. because this problem kept spreading. People had not been alert until it spread almost across the entirety of the nation. Mm. And we were the first to set up, we were the group that set up the first clinic. And it eventually became an interagency thing and all being coordinated through our desk. Mm. And for me, that was an exciting thing because we found ourselves being so resourceful to a whole more than 13 million people. Yeah. Yeah. And the ministry literally leaning on us for IV fluids, for all the necessary stuff that we had to do, because we could agitate for resources from all other agencies, and there was so much support. For me, that has been a very remarkable experience.
And a great achievement as well.
Oh, yeah, sure, I would say.
That's wonderful. And Tara, you're away from your family a lot. How does the absence from your family affect you?
You can hear from the sigh.
Yeah, I know.
It's never easy. Mm-hmm. It's never easy. I've got adult children. Mm-hmm. Two of my children are adults, but interestingly, I have what others have termed a miracle baby who comes 17 years after the one he follows.
Okay.
And it's like I'm now a grandparent.
Yeah.
And now I understand why grandparents love their little baby so much. I miss this little boy ever so much, you know.
Yeah.
And so it really does affect me. I find myself calling home a lot. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I call home not because I want to speak to the mama, but because I want to
say, speak
please
to
give
son.
Him the phone, you know. And everyone is like, you want to talk only to him? So I miss that boy.
Yeah.
That's my loss.
But it's
time
all
with
worth
my
it
boy.
In the end. Mm. It's all worth it in the end.
At the end of the day, it is all worth it, because I know that even if you might say, I never had so much of my dad, you'll still be able to say, I remember that my dad had so much commitment to me that he called me almost always. Because he had to be useful to the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm thinking I'm still instilling the right attitude to that boy.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's beautiful. Tarai, can you share with us your second track, which you have chosen that you'd like to share with our audience?
I've chosen from I'm Blessed. That's Sinach. She sings I'm Blessed.
What's the name of the title of the song?
I'm Blessed.
I am Blessed.
Yes.
So that is it. I am blessed.
I'm Blessed. Yeah.
If you're a child of God, the Bible says that kings shall come to thy rising and Gentiles to the brightness of thy shining. Just know that you are blessed. Lift up your hand and say, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. So blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Going out, coming in. So blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. January, February, till December. Oh, I'm blessed. King shall come to up your hands wherever you are. Say, I'm blessed. Come on.
I'm blessed.
So blessed.
I'm blessed.
Every hour.
I'm blessed.
Every moment.
I'm blessed.
Yes, you
are. Oh, I'm blessed.
On the west.
I'm blessed.
On the north.
I'm blessed.
Ahead or behind you. Children are blessed.
I'm blessed.
Your family is blessed.
I'm blessed.
Everything you
I'm
do
blessed.
Is blessed.
Oh, I'm blessed.
Every hour.
I'm blessed.
Every moment.
I'm blessed.
Every moment.
I'm blessed.
Yes, I'm,
oh,
blessed.
I'm blessed.
So blessed.
So blessed.
So blessed.
So blessed.
Hallelujah.
So blessed.
So blessed.
Come
on. You're so blessed.
So blessed.
Every hour.
Welcome back to the Spotlight. My name is Lebo, and I am here with Taurai from Zimbabwe, who is working as an anesthetist nurse in the United Nations mission in South Sudan. So Taurai has been sharing with us a little bit about his journey. Of course, we can never really cover 100% of somebody's journey, you know, but we try to cover what most we can. And Taurai, tell me about the feeling that you got when you first arrived to South Sudan.
Yeah, initially very anxious. Yes, I had been exposed to remote medical care, but pretty anxious when I came through. Then what happens is in 2 days, I'm being taken on tour of the city. I have to see all the compounds.
Yes.
The moment we drove out of our camp, I see a tall building. I'm like, wow. Is this South Sudan?
Uh-huh,
you
uh-huh.
have this here. I'm really in town.
Yeah. Really couldn't believe the South, the Juba that the people were talking about.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So that was wonderful. My first experience.
So that's a lovely surprise, though. So it's a good surprise.
Very good surprise. Very good surprise. Yeah.
And what would you say have been your greatest achievement so far?
So far, I want to... Yes, I speak with passion for emergency services. We've been able, since my arrival, to find, to receive a fleet of new ambulances,
mm-hmm.
well-stocked ambulances. When I talk ambulances, I do not talk of a van that you shuttle someone in at top speed to a clinic,
mm-hmm.
but I'm talking a vehicle which is well stocked to the extent that you can actually render supportive life support
mm-hmm.
to a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the stuff that we managed to get.
Mm-hmm.
My achievement arising from that has been to have participated initially in the assessment of that equipment, being able to participate in the assembling of that equipment, and participating in the training of the use of that equipment to fellow personnel
mm-hmm.
and enjoying the use mm-hmm. of that equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, that's been like, this is life
mm-hmm.
and this is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
This is trauma. This is emergency care.
Yeah.
So for me, that's been a great success
mm-hmm.
to be able to influence the correct attitude to what ambulance work is all about,
okay.
over and above everything else that we offer in the clinic.
Okay, yeah. Wonderful. And what survival skills have you learned?
Survival skills, yes. Oh, yes, you have to survive. You have to survive. Whew. Away from home, you have to survive.
Yeah. No cooking wife.
Oh, my. Mission support, as some people would like to call it. Well, I've been so lucky as not to have to be part of it. I've made success. I'm glad.
You're so silly. You can't be serious. Okay, seriously, what survival skills have you learned?
But truly speaking, just the ability to cope with the pressure, one, of loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
Solitude,
mm-hmm.
but yet in the midst of it, be able to refocus and divert that solitude into success.
Okay.
As it is, I've been around for just a year in South Sudan, and I've got my first booklet publication coming out at the beginning of July.
Okay.
I've got the second one under editorial attention right now with a publisher.
Okay.
And I've got a third that I've started to write a skeleton of.
Ah,
so, wonderful. Survival skills, redivert, refocus
your energy,
derive from within yourself, pour it out, and make success
into
and
something positive.
Something positive.
Wow, that's
been
beautiful.
The greatest.
So we should be looking out for that book, huh?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's coming out. Regal Magnificence.
Oh,
that's
wow.
The first title.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Sure.
Ooh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. And how has your life changed serving as a volunteer?
Yes. There is depth that I think I've gained in my own person, as of my own abilities and capacities.
Yeah.
I think there is depth. And I've also had to learn, you know, when you're a volunteer, you're not salaried.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got needs, you've got expenses. In my setup, I'm a father, I'm a brother, I'm an uncle, and I've got all this huge family around me. And yet be able to manipulate the little that you have positively towards successful supply and provision for the whole group. And in it all, not regret, not cry, not weep, but rejoice and make success. Apparently, it has also sparked and triggered the entrepreneurial dimension within some of my family, who today, after years of sitting back and just enjoying the big monies that I would get from my private practice and other things, are today able to self-sustain. And actually, I know when I'm home, severally, I've had them take care of one or two of my personal needs because they now have resource. So I think we have gained something.
Okay, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And Talrai, can you share with us your third track that you'd like our audience to listen to?
My third track, as a volunteer, what else can I say but retort on what Michael Jackson, the late, spoke about and motivated other singers to call on. And they sang that day, "We are the world."
Okay, that's Michael Jackson, "We Are the World."
A better day, just you and me.
Welcome back to the Spotlight on Radio Mariah. I am here with Tao Rai, and he's been sharing with us his wonderful, wonderful journey of volunteerism. And Tao Rai is from Zimbabwe, so it's a very, very long way away from home. So Tao Rai, didn't people ask you, where are you saying you're going? When you said you come into South Sudan.
I've had those questions. I've heard guys who've asked me, what are you doing out there?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you're getting out of it?
Yeah.
Because they're looking at what they're making. Because I remember someone asking me, how much do you make? And I said, joy and satisfaction of service.
Mm-hmm.
And the young men thought I was crazy.
They don't understand what you're on about.
They really don't understand what's wrong with me.
But that's okay.
But
they don't
fine.
Have to understand. It's okay.
True. I agree.
Yeah. And how have you adjusted to the conditions in South Sudan that are so different from your home country?
Oh, pretty different. I've had to learn to take care of myself, mm-hmm. health-wise. I've had to learn to manage my time. I've had to learn to manage my environment, to manage my social interactions.
Uh-huh.
And I've had to also learn to live within the confines of curfew.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to learn to respect the citizens of the nation in a better dimension.
Yeah, absolutely.
But one of the most exciting things has also been the ability to learn and derive from the locals the sense of pride about this attitude of ownership of one's state and of one's nation.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that,
mm-hmm.
and it's been quite a joy. I didn't know I liked my nation the way
that
I now
much.
Do.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, now I really know.
It takes
know.
You being away.
Oh, now I really know.
That's wonderful, actually. And if you were stranded on a desert island, what luxury item would you take? Just one.
Just one.
Yeah.
Woo, my favorite. Vanilla ice cream with
what?
Crushed
Are
nuts.
Are you serious? What?
If I had enough of that, I would be fine.
Okay. Like good vanilla ice cream.
Good vanilla.
Quality.
Smooth, creamy.
Aww.
Oh. The one that runs down your spine.
I know. We need it right now in this Juba heat. Tao Rai, please share with us your other track that you'd like the audience to listen to.
No human, no cry. No human, no cry. I think I would make Bob Marley jealous, eh?
I think so too.
That's our next
This
track.
Is Bob Marley, No Woman, No Cry.
Cook corn meal porridge.
Welcome back to the Spotlight. I am here with our singing Taurai. I'm here with Taurai from Zimbabwe, who is a UN volunteer in the UNMISS in South Sudan. And Taurai, who are the people who have been the most influential in your life?
Oh, pretty influential in my life. Over and above all, has been my dad. Mm-hmm. My father was very, very influential. The kind of man who taught me to not answer back and say, when they called me, I would not be allowed to say dad. But mm-hmm. he expected me to say sir. Mm-hmm. And to this date, I even have colleagues who complain because I call them madam. Mm. And they say, I'm not your madam. But I was cultured so militarily disciplined.
Yeah.
That man impacted my life.
Mm-hmm.
He really did. But I will not forget to mention my very own family. They've helped me to be self-groomed, disciplined, under compulsion. Sometimes I feel I want to let it all out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I quickly remember, oh, I've got family, they look up to me, so I got to be well modeled.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has molded me and made me to be the good person that I am, the
you
quiet
know,
one.
Something that is very interesting is like, when I was growing up, every little thing that you do wrong, it'll be like you're whose daughter are you, by
oh,
the
yeah,
way?
True.
You know, so it's sort of a burden, but it also actually it
also
molds you at the same time, because
really
you know you're carrying a certain surname that must remain respectful,
true.
Respectable, etc. etc. So yeah,
very
I think
much so.
Well.
Yeah.
I guess that's a lot. That's how a lot of us have grown up as well, which I think is wonderful, really.
True.
And what are the misconceptions about volunteerism that you have heard that you'd like to dispel?
Yes, I would like to encourage my fellow humans and fellow professionals in all their various dimensions to not be misled, to think and assume that volunteerism is all about being a maverick.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that when you're a volunteer, you're literally a maverick. How could you dare go out there to do that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
No, it is not about that. It's all about being very philanthropic, about being very useful, and about sharpening your own abilities at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really wish that humankind would know the taste of what it is to offer themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Without need, essentially, for financial gain or material gain.
Okay.
I think real gain is when you find peace with yourself and contentment in the midst of your environment.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And apart from volunteerism, what are your other interests in which and what other professional areas are you interested in?
I have always wished that, some people say I'm religious.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a strong interest, and I've read a little bit and done a few studies in biblical things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would really like to find myself being of use in a religious environment.
You just want to be a pastor?
Not necessarily to be a pastor. Well, the pastoral dimension will be there eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But my greatest desire is to be part of a system, or a religious system, a Christian religious system, so to speak, which would be so contextualized to its community as to be useful and exert the appropriate impact.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So that's my really greatest desire. Fair and fine. I believe, like my name says, my name is Taurai. It means to speak.
Mm.
I believe I'm a communicator.
Yeah.
Okay. Hence,
okay.
I wish I could land a job in communication.
You
day.
Let's swap, okay? You can take over my job. It's okay. And that's all right. Please share with us your next piece of music.
My next piece of music is from a great man. I respect what this guy has done, as he has given back to the community, and his approach is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
He has a musical center where he does not teach, but he invites people with skill to come and showcase what they are able to get or what they are able to give, in order that he learns from out of their expertise and their abilities. That man is none other than Dr. Oliver Mutukudzi. And he sings a song, Hear Me, Lord.
I love Oliver. He's amazing.
Yeah.
There we go. Welcome back to the Spotlight. Thank you, Tara, for that wonderful piece of music. I really, really love Oliver Mutukudzi. He's amazing. Yeah.
Great man.
Yeah, he's a great man. And Tara, what book do you think has made the biggest impact on your life? I think I know what you're going to say.
And I think I'm going to surprise you. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. You probably do know. Of all the books, from a religious perspective, the Bible.
I knew it.
The book of books. Yeah.
I knew it.
Really impacted my life. Really impacted my life.
But
I will not fail also, if I can take advantage, to mention a book by Charles Dickens.
Uh-huh.
Far From the Madding Crowd.
Okay.
The first two pages where the man writes in long prose and it describes the smile of Bathsheba. In two pages, describing a smile in English. Oh,
okay. So, as millennial kids who are very, like, our attention span is very short, I'll just be like, "Get to it already! Why are you describing a smile in two pages?"
So beautiful. Oh, that guy. Oh, I love that English in that book.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff.
Okay,
really
wonderful.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And Tarai, thank you very much for letting us hear your story on the Spotlight here on Radio Mariah. That was really a lovely show that we had. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. And don't forget that the Spotlight repeat also airs on Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. on Radio Mariah. Tune in again next week, Friday, to listen to our next Spotlighter guest. Thank you to our lovely producer, McCreen. This is the Spotlight. I am Lebo, and have a lovely day.